Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today.
Good morning, Ricardo.
Good morning, Philip.
How are you today?
I'm doing fine.
Good. So are you ready for tomorrow? We have a talk tomorrow.
Oh, we do. Okay, I normally know what I'm supposed to do the following day. Yes, I'm ready.
Yes, we're giving a talk to the Catholic Professionals Forum group. They meet in Brookfield, and I have not had an opportunity to be there before, but somehow they've asked us to be there.
And are we ready for the talk, you think?
I think we've got some notes together. How do you normally prepare for a talk? So you last minute or a little further in advance, or just depends?
It's a very interesting question. I think a lot about it. When the date approaches, then that's when I put it down. And normally, so I procrastinate on putting it down, but I don't procrastinate in thinking about it. So there is a lot of mental work done. And then when I have to put it together, it's very easy. And normally I need the pressure of the last minute, which is, I don't think it's a virtue. I think it's a vice that I have, procrastination.
All right.
But sometimes you need that kind of pressure to get things done.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully they will as well. A good group and some friends, and it's just going to be good. And today, first day of spring, isn't it?
And it was about time.
Yes.
We really don't know what the weather is. We are just in a closed room, and we don't see anything outside. But we hope that this will really be the beginning of spring. We do need spring after such a long and difficult winter.
I know. You haven't lived in Wisconsin long enough, though. I know
only,
you've been here many years.
Only 20 years.
This is not the end.
I know. I know it can snow until mid-April if necessary.
Even into May, we've had it recently.
Okay.
All right. So we're looking forward now to the third Sunday of Lent. Now, this, by the way, before I read the gospel, why don't you explain? This is the first week where this might be an option. I got it wrong a few weeks ago.
Yeah, this is where Father Philip continues making this mistake of thinking that this is an option. If you're in a parish where you have RCIA catechumens, people who are going to be baptized into the Catholic faith during Easter, preferably at the Easter Vigil, then you may hear readings from Cycle A, those three long Gospels from John, a man born blind, a Samaritan woman, you know these Gospels. But if you don't, if you are in a parish without people getting baptized, adults getting baptized at the Easter Vigil, then we are reading Cycle C. And that's what we are going to do at this point.
Yeah,
podcast.
So we're going to stick with Cycle C, the normal cycle for this year. So I'm going to read from where today?
You are reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 to 9.
Some people told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 people who were killed when the tower at Siloam fell on them, Do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. And he told them this parable. There once was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard, and when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." Another one of those Gospels. There's a whole lot going on.
Not an easy one. So what I want to make clear is that people understand, if you don't have catechumens, you still can choose cycle A. If you have them, you have to do cycle A.
Okay.
So some priests may say, well, this is not easy to preach about. Maybe the stories from John are more interesting in our Lenten process, so who knows. It's a great gospel, certainly two parts, and I'm not sure how connected they are. We get them together, but maybe they are two different things. The first one is very clear. Jesus was born in a society that if things happened to you, you were suspected. You became a suspect of having done something wrong. Like an image of God that would be a lot about, if you are blessed, it means that you are in good standing with God. If something bad happens to you, then you've done something to upset God. It's an interesting image of God. I hope it's not ours, but certainly we tend to sometimes think this way.
Yeah, as a result of sin. And that was a cultural understanding of the divine at that time. Mm-hmm. It seems maybe foreign or insensitive to our ears today, but that was just that was quite the case. This example here about the Galileans and Pilate, it can seem a little obscure, frankly. Mm-hmm. Only Luke mentions this incident. Luke is the only one who mentions this, but the historian Josephus, who's a Jewish scholar,
sure,
says that, you know, this would have been kind of normal for Pilate. It's just, it gives a little bit of context to Pilate really being kind of a brutal person. But anyway, this is the only place this is mentioned. But I think you're right in kind of the larger point here of Jesus saying, we're going to look at sin a little bit differently here. And I'd say, and I'd be careful in taking this statement too far, but be careful with black and white.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a relativist. I'm not. But, you know, sometimes we can think about good or bad. And what Jesus is saying here is, don't think that, first of all, misfortune is directly the result of sin, but don't think that they're so different than you. Those people who perhaps have died, you know, we're all sinners. We all have a need to repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of that today for myself and for others. We can sometimes think, oh, I'm kind of okay, you know, sort of good or bad, that there are bad people and I'm a good person. And it's not always quite that clear. We all have a need of repentance. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. The other thing, I think so. And the other thing that makes sense also is that, don't we feel the same way, especially about ourselves? I tend to think, when things are clearly not going my way, or things are not really going well, or in the several areas of my life, things don't seem to really connect, I tend to think the same way. What have I done wrong? And I do reflect about my shortcomings or my sinfulness in a special way at those times. And I'm not sure that's correct, but it's an interesting take. Then we go into the second part of the gospel, which is a very interesting parable, because what you just said, it's not black and white. So we say that the mercy of God is eternal and gigantic, but the parable explains, give me one more year, and then you cut it if necessary. It doesn't say, give me 10 more years, or give me 15 more years, or eternally. It says, give me one more year, and there is an effort. I think we have to see that it's like the discussion about faith and works, that is both. So the parable says, yes, God's mercy is gigantic, but we also need to do some work. We need to do something about it.
Exactly. I hear here a reference to the end of time and really the delay of the end of time. It's not a permanent delay, though, as I think you accurately mentioned here. Wait 1 year. You know, there's always that question, is for Christians, it was present as St. Paul is writing his letters, when is the end of time coming? When is Jesus coming? And a little bit of stress when it didn't come soon, but some would say that this is our opportunity to receive God's mercy, to kind of get it right. And here I think you see that in a little snippet here with the fig tree. You know, here's another year to get it right, little tree.
I'm not sure I'm taking it this way. What I think I would say is, in any project we do, as a priest, you start projects, you try things at your parish, for instance, and they don't work for a while. There is a point where you have to say, let me give it one more try with all my effort. If it doesn't succeed, it's not because of me. I give it one more try. I put all the effort, the description here of the person working the soil and everything. But then if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You know. But there is a point where you have to say, let's stop here, let's give it one more try, and that's it. That's how I take it, more than a reflection about the end of times, but maybe you're right.
It could be both. I think it's the end of times.
Sure.
But I like what you're saying there, and I think that's important in life. It's certainly true in parishes. I'm of the same school of saying, at a certain point, we need to kind of, in a sense, celebrate the end of something. Mm-hmm. Say, we have moved on, even if there's not much to celebrate. You know, we've given this a try, and it's time here to definitively set our energies elsewhere. But also in life, we can kind of hang on to the wrong things, whether it be relationships and things or places or memories. And sometimes we need to place those in the arms of the Lord and let those things go and let the Lord take care of it. And of course, I think about the reality of the end of life for someone.
Uh-huh.
I know as priests, I'm sure you have as well. We're around people often who are in that transition in life, who are at the stage of dying. But what I've found very consistently is when there's a sense of acceptance on the part of the person, but also the family, it's a very beautiful experience. But if you're holding on to something too long, more than this one year here, like the tree, if you're holding on to too long, that's when things can become very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Lots to think about, lots of ideas to approach this gospel. I hope we approach it also in the sense that it's Lent. We need to reflect about these things, about the end of times, about our own end, about the end of things, the end of relationships. I think it's very important during Lent to keep this sense of the season. I think you would agree with that.
Exactly. Here's something we've talked about a little bit, but there's so much to talk about during Lent. Very rich readings. The first reading this Sunday is Moses and the Burning Bush and Holy Ground, and beautiful, beautiful account. The second reading is great. So there's so much here. So place it in the arms of the Lord and pray. And that's what I'm going to do with this. I have no idea what I'm going to preach about. So putting it in the slow cooker of prayer, I guess.
As soon as we finish the talk, then we'll focus on this homily.
That's right. Exactly. After tomorrow. So
thank you for listening to us. As you know, if you know of someone who could benefit from listening to the podcast, to this podcast, let them know that we exist.
If you're looking for Mass Times, masstimes.org is a national website to go to for that, and archmill.org here in the Milwaukee area.
So I think we should gather again next Wednesday to do this.
Next Wednesday. Let's come on back.
See you there.
All right.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.